This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Monday, January 1, 2024, The Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God, by Father William Doc Holliday.
When the fullness of times was come, God sent his Son, made of a woman. May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, that him, Father, the Son, Holy Ghost.
Amen.
When the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, made of a woman. Newer English versions say born of a woman. Actually, the Greek word that's used there is neither made or born, it's became. But that would sound really awkward in English to say God sent his Son, become of a woman. The becoming thing is actually, again, sounds awkward when you say it, but it's actually the more truthful translation of it. And what I mean truthful, not the other ones are false. They actually are a good translation of that word. But the thing that makes us pay attention, when it became a woman, what does that mean? What do you mean became a woman? Do we have to be born or made or what? It's all of these things. This is why it is so apropos to, this is why we also have the original publications of the scriptures in Greek, because it really is something to think about that our Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, became of a woman and all of that that it entails. In this day in particular, we look at the motherhood of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We look at things like that, became of a woman, it's mysterious. We look at the article of our creed, the third article of our creed, third article of the Apostles, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary. It's the third article, and you can look at what it says and go, okay, that's the incarnation, which is true, but there are actually two parts that need to be believed, and those two parts are of equal import. Our Lord Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and then he was born of the Virgin Mary. You have this God-man, this theanthropos mystery going on. How can this man, Jesus, be 100% God and 100%? We're never going to get it. We just need to appreciate it. And when we appreciate who he is, we have to appreciate how he got here. This is why our creed says that. You know, it would have sufficed that God sent his Son, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, period. Let us move on. Because that would fall into the whole thing about, you know, when you talk to your non-Catholic friends and they say nifty little thing, he could have picked any woman to do. Well, that is kind of true, but he didn't. He not only picked the Blessed Virgin Mother, he prepared her for what she was going to do. This is why we say, blessed art thou among women. This is why our creed says what it does. It's just not he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. He was born of and they are equal. You know, well, he's more God than he is man. No, he's not. He's 100% both. Mysterious, yes, but appreciated nonetheless. This is why we venerate this day so much, because our Lord Jesus Christ, it's overwhelming to think of the incarnation, but our Blessed Mother is an integral part. The incarnation doesn't happen without her. It doesn't happen. You don't get Jesus if the Blessed Mother is not involved. No Jesus, no salvation, no Mary, no Jesus. This should really be the catalyst for why we venerate her so, particularly on this day. And it's interesting that I am, you know, around here, I am not a huge fan at all, that's an understatement, of when they move things around in the calendar. This day got moved around. And because of my personal devotions, I'm selfish that way, I like the fact that they moved it here because what? It's on the octave day of Christmas. It's on the last day, those 8 days of Christmas, when we focus absolutely, completely on our Lord Jesus Christ and his incarnation and the consequent events of that. And we, on the last day, we venerate the motherhood of the Blessed Virgin Mary, because without her, none of that other stuff would have happened. I heard a lot from people in text yesterday. I mean, several within yesterday. Okay, man, that what I said during the liturgical notes that I said, man, shaming people into coming to Mass tomorrow. There should be no shame at all, because I don't think that there are any more people here today if I had not said that. But I mean, if somebody did hear it, was visiting or something, well, you know, you don't have to be obliged to be there. But they're the same people. They don't show up to Mass today to venerate the motherhood of Blessed Virgin Mary, but they're sitting home saying their rosaries, asking her to do things for them. And I think that's just rude. That ain't nothing but rude. Yeah, I know, you know, I know the church always says it's an obligation to come and venerate you, but, you know, but hey, you know, I didn't do it, but hey, could you do me some favors? It'd be like if you called your mom, you know, and you say, you know, hey, mom, I can't make it over for Christmas this year and everything like that, but could you, like, drive my present over to me? Yeah, that's rude. Yeah, that's all there is to it. We need to appreciate and venerate the Blessed Mother for who she is, because those two parts, again, are equal and they are of equal import. Even the way that the angels announced to the shepherds, you know, the gospel day, you know, the annunciation to the shepherds itself, you know, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Why not just leave it with, you know, unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What about the city? What's the big deal about that? You know, well, the city, you know, it's the city of David. It's Bethlehem, the house of bread. And we get this whole analogy, which we should, about the Eucharist and all this kind of good stuff, and our Lord being the bread which came down from heaven. But never miss the fact that, you know, we're not just talking about locality as far as what its name was. It was the city of David, and the angels say to the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, is Christ the Lord. It's just not about locality. It's about the fact that our Blessed Mother and St. Joseph were of the line of David, which actually drives home the point when the angels are announcing the Annunciation to the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Lord shall give unto him the throne of David his father. Oh, I thought God was his father. He is. But both things are going on. The transcendence of God being his father, but he is of the line biologically of King David. So all these presentations by the angels to the Blessed Virgin Mary, to the shepherds, and then subsequently to us, is an appreciation for this God-man. This 100% God, 100% man. No emphasis on either side of these things. The Blessed Virgin Mary brings forth God, because he was conceived by the Holy Ghost, but she also brought forth a man. He was born of her. This is to be appreciated. Made of a woman, made of her substance. He became man in her womb, and then he is born of her. This is the incarnation. You have no incarnation without the Blessed Virgin Mother. The incarnation and how we relate to the Blessed Mother and how she can, you know, appeal to our Father. You know, there's all kind of discussions and they're very valid. We need to stop trying to understand things completely all the time. We're talking about something transcendent. We're not going to understand them all the time. The incarnation is not to be understood per se. It is first and foremost to be admired and honored. And if the incarnation is admired and honored, the Blessed Virgin Mary, by necessity, has to be admired and honored by us who are her spiritual children, by adoption. Behold thy mother, behold thy son. That's us. It wasn't just St. John. Again, it's not to be understood. When we try to understand things, we have to remember that we're trying to understand them with our own finite and limited abilities. No matter how sharp you may be, you're never going to figure out the hypostatic union, how God can be 100% God and 100% man at the same exact time. You're never going to understand it, no matter how smart you are. Stop trying to think through these things. I don't mean you're not supposed to think about it, because it's faith and reason. Yeah, think about them, but when you don't get it, when you hit that wall, stop. Stop. Because it's, again, before we're supposed to understand it, we're supposed to admire and honor it. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, he says, shut thy eyes, O reason, for under the veil of faith thou canst see the sheen of this mystery, just as the eyes of the body can bear the light of the sun when it's shaded by a cloud. Our reason tries to look directly into things. Like St. Bernard is saying, don't try to look into the sun when it's there's no clouds out with your eyes open. You're going to hurt yourself. Everybody gets that one. When you're a little kid, you try to do that nonsense, like, you know, then you see the spots for like an hour. It's bad for you. You can't directly look at it. But you can look at it if there's a cloud up there. You can actually look at it. It's like really cool. You know, oh, there's the sun. I'm looking right at it. It's not hurting my eyes. Or if you squint, you can do that. That's what we got to do with our reason when it comes to the Blessed Virgin Mary. We've got to squint. You can't get it. You can't look directly at it because of our limitation. But if you squint, you get a picture of it. As St. Bernard said, you see a sheen of this mystery. You are never going to understand it, but you should be able to appreciate it with all of your being and honor her for who she is. Talking about this mystery stuff and everything, you watch how God works. Why do your non-Catholic Christian friends like to say, well, God doesn't work like that. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. There's actually a prime example of God forming someone out of the substance of another when we see it, creation of Eve. This is St. Isidore. St. Isidore says Christ was formed from Mary as Eve was formed from Adam. What happened with Eve? Deep sleep fell over Adam. Our Lord formed Eve out of a rib and closed it up. When Adam woke up, you know, we don't have any indication whatsoever, and I don't think we should even think about it, that Adam woke up and it was like he went to surgery and he was walking around all doubled over and things like that for the next week and a half. No. God formed Eve out of a rib of Adam, and nobody got a problem with that. None of your non-Catholic friends have a problem with that creation. They're, oh, no, you know all the non-Christians particularly. God can't become a man, but they buy into the Adam and Eve story. It's inconsistent. I mean, we're not talking about looking at it the way technically he did it, but he does it. He will take the substance of a biological individual and make another biological individual. He does things like that. He's God. And so, I mean, it's not like inconceivable to think of him doing that, but it is mysterious. We've again just got to appreciate where she falls in this whole puzzle of our salvation. Pope Benedict XVI says this, kind of tie this up with the whole thing I said before about her being honored now as the mother at the end of the Christmas octave. Pope Benedict XVI said, Blessed Virgin Mary is so closely interwoven with the mystery of Christ that the Christmas cycle inevitably introduced a Marian note into the entire church year. This is why the Blessed Virgin Mary is in the canon of the Mass. We venerate the Blessed Virgin Mother on Saturdays, particularly on the first Saturday of every month. You know, you look at these things and it is, as Pope Benedict XVI said, it is so integral. It is so interwoven to our faith. You cannot separate it. And when you start separating things, then there's problems and there's inconsistencies. We're Catholics. We get bashed all the time by those on the outside. They go, you worship Mary. You got statues. You know, somebody sent me a really cool meme the other day. Here we get Christmas, the only time when statues of the Blessed Mother and all the saints and Jesus are okay. They're all kind of Protestants, got manger scenes, and they're like, oh, is that? And then they bash us, oh, you got statues of Mary in your church. And we just leave them up all the time, okay? Because we appreciate what she did all the time, just not at Christmas. That's an inconsistency in faith, an inconsistency. What happens when you start cherry-picking stuff out of your own reason? We're not to reason through this stuff. It's got to be really simple. I'll close you with something as simplistic as you can possibly get. Most people wouldn't get abecedarium. What? An abecedarium. Not a word that everybody knows what it is. They don't know the word, but they know what it is because most people have been around little tiny children before. An abecedarium is like the little book that says A is for apple, B is for bear, and they got the letter, and you know that's how you teach kids to read. That is an abecedarium. I was reading a book, and this guy's got doctoral degrees and everything like that, but he's actually got an abecedarium about the faith in his bag. And really the simplicity of what with the T, because our Blessed Mother, the Mother of God, Theotokos, the one who bore God, his abecedarium says, and again, this is the simplicity where we should end this, you know, and just appreciate it. T is for Theotokos, the Most Holy One, whose felicitous fiat salvation has won. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.